You know, for the past 5 weeks, we have been in this series on the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples. And we've broken it down phrase by phrase to understand better how we're supposed to communicate with God. And so during that time, we talked about praise, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, holy is your name. We talked about surrender, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Request, give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need today to get through today. Repentance, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We're actually asking God to treat us the way we treat other people. And then intercession, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Intercession means that we're praying not just for ourselves, but we're praying for our friends and for our family, for our community, for the people in the world. Well, we're going to wrap up prayer today, at least this part of the series, by focusing on gratitude. And then over the next 2 Sundays, I want us to think about listening to God. See, here's the thing. We often think about prayer as us talking to God, but the question is, does he answer back? I mean, that's the million-dollar question, right? Does he have anything that he wants to say to us? And I believe that he does. It's just that oftentimes we aren't quiet enough to listen. So we'll talk about that. But I want us to deal today with this closing doxology of the Lord's Prayer. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, a doxology is an oral or a written expression of praise. Kingdom, power, glory, forever. And then amen, or amen, concludes the prayer, and that denotes or suggests approval or agreement. You might think of it as, may it be so. That's what we're saying at the end of a prayer. Now, I don't want to confuse you. I don't want to freak you out today, but many Bible translations, this last phrase of the Lord's Prayer is listed as a footnote rather than part of the Bible text. And you say, well, why is that? Well, many of the ancient manuscripts don't really contain this last phrase of the prayer. We don't really know exactly if Jesus voiced this doxology, this benediction, on this very day in this very prayer. Okay, we're just not sure. When he gave the sample prayer, did he say these words? Now, I think it is worth noting that doxologies like this were very prevalent in both the Old Testament and the New Testament times. The doxology that's found here is certainly consistent with other Bible passages. There's nothing suspect about this phrase. And this has been the traditional closing of the Lord's Prayer for centuries. And so today, kind of based on the premise that prayer puts us in touch with God, okay, and with his overwhelming power and glory, we're going to talk about this last phrase, these final words. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And I see this as a prayer of gratitude, that this final component of prayer, something we do not want to leave out of our prayers, is gratitude. See, we began the Lord's Prayer with praise, honoring God for who he is. This is his identity, our holy heavenly Father. And now we conclude the prayer by expressing thanks for all the incredible things God has done, for his kingdom, for his power, for his glory in the world. So you might think of it like this. Praise is about God's identity, and gratitude is about God's activity. Okay? Praise is who he is. Identity is what he's done. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, I would assume we can agree that nothing is more important, nothing would we be more thankful for than the death and the resurrection of Christ. Right? All other blessings sort of pale by comparison to what Jesus did for us on the cross. It is the pinnacle of God's goodness. It's his redemption, right? That we are saved because of what he has done. In fact, the primary reason that we believe in the power of prayer is because Jesus rose from the dead. He demonstrated that incredible power. Prayer is really nothing more than wishful thinking or positive mental attitude unless God has proven in some way that he can follow through on his promises, that he has the ability to hear and to respond. I mean, I could put a sign in my yard that boasts that I can fix any problem, I can meet every need, I can make all your dreams come true, and my kids would have backed me up on that when they were about 4 years old, right? And man, the wheels fell off of that pretty quickly as they got older. I'm guessing you would be a pretty hard sell to convince you of those things. I would have to, in some way, be able to prove to you that I could do those things. Otherwise, they're empty promises. 1 Peter 1 says that because of Jesus' resurrection, we have a living hope, we have an eternal inheritance, and we are shielded by God's power. Friends, the kingdom and the power and the glory all belong to God, but Jesus proves that they're all true, that they really are all his. And we're going to talk about that. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us today. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead listens to our prayers every day. The resurrection of Jesus verifies God's involvement and his impact in this world. And so the end of the Lord's Prayer kind of highlights these blessings. First, we're grateful for God's kingdom, the church. Yours is the kingdom. And we talked about this before. A kingdom is any place where a king rules. Even if the king lives somewhere else, if he rules in this area, it's part of his kingdom. What that means is, if Jesus Christ rules in your heart and in my heart, then we're part of the kingdom, right? When believers come together under the lordship of Christ, we are part of his kingdom. When people become members of Christ's church, we're not just joining an organization. We're actually surrendering to this kingdom where he is the king on the throne. He is the Lord, and we are part of what he has to offer. And so we think about this community of faith. We think about this kingdom of God. We celebrate Christ's church in our prayers. You know, the Bible uses different metaphors or different images for what the church is. We're the body of Christ. He's the head. We're the hands and feet and arms and legs. And we are an advancing army fighting against the spiritual forces of evil. We're a loving family. We nurture and care for each other. We are an eternal kingdom. And these pictures suggest unity and commitment and love and harmony. Unfortunately, many churches don't really look like that. I was working in the church office up in Indiana. It's been years ago now. And this delivery guy came by, and I let him in, and he was dropping these off. And because we were a church, he started asking, "Oh, what kind of church is this?" He said, "Is this an apostolic church?" And I said, "Well, not really." He says, "Is this a holiness church?" I said, "Well, not exactly. I mean, surely we follow in the footsteps of the apostles, and we certainly strive to be holy." But this guy, after some further conversation, was trying to find out, "Do you speak in tongues here?" And he was clearly disappointed in us and my answer. And then he said, "Do you baptize people in the name of Jesus?" And I said, "Well, we baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And he actually scowled at me. See, some churches are really hung up on this. Even though Father, Son, Holy, and the Spirit, the Son is Jesus, they say you have to baptize in the name of Jesus or it doesn't count. I mean, forget that Jesus said Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They say if it's not in the name of Jesus, it doesn't count. So this guy starts to try to prove to me why our church is wrong and why we should do it differently. Finally, I said, "Dude, I'm not going to argue with you about this. Just make your delivery, okay? You know what? I'm done with this conversation." Because seriously, do you ever want to say to people, "Really? Really, you want to fight about that? That's the hill you're going to die on? The world is going to hell, and we're going to sit inside the church and argue about this?" Friends, too often we are a kingdom divided. In fact, I would go so far as to say we're a kingdom divisive. And it breaks God's heart. Jesus prayed for the unity of the church, and the next day he died for the church. The church hadn't even started yet, but he decided that we were worth dying for. This imperfect kingdom, this flawed bride of his that he knew one day he would spend eternity with. You understand, right, that the church is imperfect? I tell people in starting point class all the time, man, if you find a perfect church, please don't join it because you'll just mess it up. Okay, all due respect. Okay, because man, we are human and we are flawed, and you get a bunch of people together and it's messy. But Jesus loved the church. He loves the church. He died for the church. And so we should love the church too. His kingdom on earth. Ephesians 5:23 says, Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. He is the head and we are his body. He is the king on the throne. We are a kingdom. We're not built on military force. We're built on love. We're a kingdom. It's not just a physical kingdom, but we are we're a spiritual kingdom, right? We are not a compulsory kingdom. This is not we're beaten into submission. We're a voluntary kingdom where we have a free will. We are a kingdom that's not just temporal. It's not just right here for this time, but it's eternal. The church is the most important institution, if you want to call it that, on earth. What we do here is the most important work in the world. And if that's the case, I just want to ask you, how do you talk about the bride of Christ? How do you talk about the church? I mean, specifically, how do you talk about Nelson Christian Church, right? Are you thankful for the church? Do you find yourself critiquing all the time? Are you quick to focus on what's right about the church or what's wrong about the church? Do you speak well of the staff, the leaders, the programs? Or do you focus all your attention on the faults of, well, Clay, for instance, or Mark, or Hannah, or Josh? I mean, I don't know. I was emptying out a closet at church one time, and I came across a box. It was a big box, heavy box. It belonged to me. And it contained, some of you won't even know what this is, it contained all of my film negatives from back in the day before digital, when you shot film, you know, and you had negatives. I was always really paranoid of a fire, and so I kept my pictures at home, and I kept my negatives at church because I didn't want to get wiped out somehow by fire. A friend of mine came through as we were kind of sorting through things, saw a box, and written on the side of the box in big letters, it said, Mark's negatives. And she said, oh, there aren't any positives? And then somebody else said, you need a bigger box? Don't you just love Christians? You know, I mean, they're just so encouraging, right? You know something? You have negatives too, right? Because we all do. That's why we're messy. This kingdom that we're a part of is a flawed kingdom, but not because of our king. It's because of us. We serve the king. Revelation 1:6 says, Jesus Christ has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. So we ought to give thanks for the church. But we also are grateful for God's power in the world. Yours is the kingdom and the power. Friends, we need to recognize and celebrate God's influence all around us. His fingerprints are everywhere. He meets our needs. He sustains our health. He gives us strength to handle what's coming our way. When things fall apart, man, he is right there beside us. He walks with us through sorrow and heartache and suffering and turmoil. Jesus said in John 5:17, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. He is active in this world. We have so much to be thankful for, and we need to be expressing that gratitude in our prayers. We take time to thank God for his power at work in this world. Back when I was in college, I had a problem. Okay, there we go. Okay, looked a little different back then. It's an intensely personal problem, hard to talk about, but I had dandruff. Okay, now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, we've known each other almost 8 years and you're just now telling us this? I mean, seriously? Like, did it come out in the interview or is this news to the elders? Okay, I had this problem, okay? How did I ever get Gail to go out with me? I mean, I understand all the questions. Well, back in the 80s, I used Suave dandruff shampoo. okay? And you know what happened? The dandruff went away. And instead of saying, wow, that shampoo really worked, instead of saying, oh, thou great suave shampoo, I thank thee for empowering me to overcome this crisis in my life, this barrier to finding a woman. Thank you, suave shampoo, for what you've done. No. I said, wow, I don't have dandruff anymore. And I stopped using the shampoo. And guess what happened? The dandruff came back, right? Now listen to this. I failed to acknowledge where the help came from, and I lost the benefit. I failed to acknowledge where the help came from, and I lost the benefit. Incidentally, in case you're worried, as I have matured, I don't have it anymore. I don't even have to use dandruff. I don't mean to brag. I'm just saying, okay, that's in my past now. How many times have we witnessed the work of God in our lives or in this world, and then instead of thanking Him for that, we say things like, man, I was so lucky. My dad will not even let us say that word. So lucky. Really? That's what you think? Finally, something's going my way. Really? Or maybe, look what I did. Really? God is so good to us. Jesus said, yours is the power. Your power at work in my life. Thank you, God. You know, the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians 1:18 that we would experience the same power that God exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Paul said the same power that raised Jesus impacts those who believe. Now, does that mean that we're going to experience the same miracles every day like the resurrection of Jesus? Well, maybe not exactly, because that was like the biggest miracle of all time. What it means is this: if God could raise Jesus from the dead, He can handle your problem. Okay, if God could do that, your situation is not going to be too big for Him. Right? He can enable you to overcome, to persevere, to make it through. It's His transforming power at work all around us. We have so much to be thankful for. And we need to express gratitude to God for the good things that He does, for His power, for shaping us, molding us, maturing us. And we need to have the confidence that His power is going to see us through. Listen to Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. It's His power at work. And so we give glory to Him. And that's the third thing in the prayer, in this doxology, right? We're grateful for God's glory through Jesus Christ. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. God's glory is revealed through Jesus. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. The Apostle John wrote this about Jesus in John 1:14. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, it's one thing to thank God for His power at work in the world. We thank Him for the sunshine and the rain. We thank Him for food and clothes and for our homes and our families. But we need to recognize the greatest blessing of all is Jesus, and we see His glory, the glory of God through Jesus Christ. See, the danger in worship sometimes is that we get so distracted, right? We come in here and maybe we get distracted by the people around us, or maybe we just kind of get lost in the music, but it's not really the message, it's just that we like music, or you know, the preacher's wit and charm just sweep us away. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I'm just kidding. But we miss what's the main point. We come to church, we go home, it's like, well, did you experience Jesus today? Well, I mean, it was a pretty good show. John Piper said that oftentimes we come into worship, and he said it's like we're in this chalet in the Himalayas, right? We are surrounded by the most grand, awe-inspiring, beautiful mountains in the world. And we come into church and we pull the shades down and we look at slides of Mount Washington. You know what I mean? No offense to Mount Washington, but it's just not the Himalayas. You know what I'm saying? And we miss the magnificence of God because of all the distractions. The guy who sits up front and will not stop talking. This person who kind of gets a little bit on my nerves. And this, you know what I mean? And we just, all these things just get us so pulled away from what this is all about. We need to raise our vision higher. We need to thank God and praise the Lord for His Son. We need to remember that Jesus died for you and me. And that His resurrection and the power of it is what gets us through. There are many martyrs who have died and should be honored, but only Jesus is worthy of worship. He's the one that came back from the dead. He personifies the glory of God. Romans 1:4 says, Jesus was shown to be the Son of God when He was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. One author wrote this, Jesus Christ is the superlative of everything good that we could choose to call Him. He is the key to knowledge. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He is the doorway to deliverance. He is the pathway to peace, the road to righteousness, the highway to holiness, and He is the gateway to glory. He is indestructible, incomprehensible, invisible, and irresistible. You cannot outlive Him and you can't live without Him. The Pharisees couldn't stop Him. Pilate could not condemn Him. The soldiers couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't keep Him. And the grave couldn't crush Him. He is risen, just as He said. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And we must not forget that glory when we gather. In our prayers, we express gratitude that Jesus came. All glory is His. And we remember that because of Him, we have hope and we have peace and purpose and a future. And gratitude is about all those things too. And the last thing in this prayer, forever. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. God's forever promises should make us well up with gratitude. That little word forever is often overlooked, isn't it? The kingdom, power, glory, we focus there and we forget forever. Man, this whole life is a prelude. It's like a warm-up. This is a dress rehearsal for what's coming. And we should remember the forever aspect of this. I heard a story about a guy who ran into a friend. He hadn't seen him for several years. And as they talked, he said, So Bill, how's your wife? And he said, she's in heaven. And his friend said, oh, I'm sorry. And then he realized, well, that kind of wasn't really the right thing to say. And then he said, I'm glad. And well, that actually was worse. And so finally he blurted out, I'm surprised. I was like, he just didn't know how to respond to this. Okay. Forever is real. Forever is what we look forward to. Forever is the promise. Sigmund Freud once spoke of, quote, the painful riddle of death, for which no remedy at all has yet been found or probably ever will be. Whew, really? I can't imagine living that way. I can't imagine going to a funeral thinking that. No remedy for death? Not according to the Lord. Not according to what Christ has done for us. The glory is His. The power is His. The kingdom is eternal. It is forever. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:17, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all those troubles. Jesus said in John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll come back and you get to come be with me. And in Matthew 13, it says the kingdom of heaven is the greatest treasure of all. He didn't just say those things. He came back to life to prove it. And you say, well, it kind of sounds a little too good to be true. He was tortured, he was murdered, laid in the tomb for 3 days. He came back to life. You listen to that guy. And because he defeated death, there's proof that we can too. Because he conquered the grave, we can too. The grave is not a dead end. Because of what Jesus did for us, he's in heaven today, means we can be with him someday. We can be confident of knowing this because the King and Savior has accomplished it all. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And so we say, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so we pray prayers of gratitude because God has been so good to us. We have so much to be thankful for. If we gripe and complain all the time, we are accusing God of being unloving or unfair. We're saying God owes us better than we're getting. We have so much to be thankful for. I have a friend who would often pray, God, if you never did another thing for us, we'd still be grateful because of Jesus. I mean, think about it. Because of Jesus, there's the kingdom of God. There's the church of Christ throughout the world. And there's this power of God in our lives. The Lord nurtures us. He sustains us. He protects us and saves us. It's His power at work. And there's the glory that's revealed through Christ. Mankind struggled to have a relationship with an unseen God in heaven. So God sent Jesus. Not only did He come to save us, but He came to reveal God to us so we could see what God's glory looked like. And we're grateful for eternity, forever promises. I want to give you a bottom line, then I'm going to wrap up with just a real quick little story that's really cool about being grateful. Here's the bottom line. When we practice the art of gratitude, we develop a heart of gratitude. See, I believe that gratitude is something that you can practice. It's something you can work at. It's something that you can get better at. As you intentionally look for the blessings and you find the good things in our lives, that we can improve and cultivate and grow in this area. We train ourselves, but there's an art to it. We practice the art of gratitude and we develop a heart of gratitude. Ron Allen wrote a book called Praise, A Matter of Life and Breath. And he tells about an elderly missionary to India. This man was an ophthalmologist. He was an eye surgeon. And he established in his younger years a medical mission in a part of India where progressive blindness was really peculiar to that region. Thousands of people were born with sight, but they were doomed to blindness as they matured, some kind of genetic defect. And this medical missionary studied the situation. He developed a procedure where he could turn things around. And people would not lose their eyesight. It seemed like a miracle to the people in that area. And it opened the door for him to share the good news of Christ. People would come to him in despair. They would leave with hope. Now, they obviously wanted to express gratitude to him. But there was no simple word of thanks in their dialect. Rather, as they would bow kind of before him in respect, they would say, I will tell your name. That was the way they said thank you. I will tell your name. The greatest honor they could pay was to say, because of what you've done, we'll tell other people about you. And that was thank you for them. I will tell your name. And so we come together and we say thank you for your kingdom and your power and your glory forever. Jesus has made all of that possible. Thank you for your kingdom, your power, your glory forever. We will tell your name. Isn't that beautiful? As we practice the art of gratitude, I believe that we can develop a heart of gratitude. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, okay? And this isn't going to be like some weird meditation thing or anything. I just want you to take a couple of deep breaths. And just relax. And I just want you to sit and listen and kind of let this just wash over you. This prayer of Jesus.